Hello, my friends, with special thanks to Karen, but also to the others who are on our wonderful initiation and formation branch for our Spirit of Life community, one of the larger branches of the Tree of Life that indeed is the way we've been imagining, imaging the mountain in the theology of Bonaventure, who sees Christ as a tree, the tree of life that branches out. We have multiple trees. One is our organizational model that also contains our board and our local community, ones that carry out the mission. And those of us who also work and minister and reflect and develop programs like this one from Build with Living Stones, very thoughtfully designed by Karen and the work she did with Terry and then with others, Kevin and Jimmy and Kathy. I'm excited that we're beginning to open up Build with Living Stones. It's an image that we've used often for ourselves. Mike adopted it for our every three-year gathering when we celebrate women and men who are living stones for the mountain. And they're benefactors, which means they help build up the mountain. So it's so appropriate that we begin to think of ourselves that way too, if you don't already. In a world that usually measures things by money and materiality, not only material wealth, or hours spent, we might think of home hours, house hours, heart hours spent. And then as we do when we begin this, the gift of God in our vocation shared with one another. I think to begin to reflect on this book with each other, and this is to begin to look at the very beginning of that book with you, the first unit on Francis Sinclair and the Franciscan family. I'll just highlight a few of the passages, presuming you've read or soon will be reading this. The overall structuring of this, we would say the organization, the matrix of the model is the gatherings of pods. But the pods will be formed by various people in parts of our life and ministry, some who've never met face by face, others who are now gathering through some of Karen's conversations and mine and possibly others of you. I know Kevin spoke to a couple today who will want to join in with our discussions, our refounding, finding our way again with each other to become even more informed in order that each of us might in our own way and with each other in community, be reformed, not from something, but into something primarily, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and then to be transformed. All this, of course, takes hope and hard work and communication and relating with each other. It happens in community, and the Gospels point to that over and over again recently, on Sundays especially, with Matthew reflecting for us. And today's, as I record this, was poignant. Small groups, talk to them. And then two of you talk to them. And then gather together and talk. In other words, mull over something and get to hear the voices. It's a very different model than planning that we use sometimes in our world. But it's the one that's given to us as we begin our reflection and realize, as I read from page 3, Francis Sinclair had an incarnational faith, firmly grounded in the enfleshment of the Word in the world. All of this is so familiar to us, isn't it? Sharing a common calling. Boy, that's at the heart of what you're doing right now, what we're doing. God gave them countless brothers and sisters. This incarnational faith is expressed in the good news. The good news, therefore, isn't written on paper as much as it is the Word made flesh that walked in the world in our lives now today too, spirited into the community of humankind and all creation. Try that one on. Our God is big enough for all that and small enough to be beside us right now. That's good news. The gospel isn't looking for size, shape, money, or culture. Simply, it is for all creation and all creatures. It's incarnational. Unbiased, complete and total love. And Francis and Claire, both in their own journeys and in a conjoined journey, came to believe and know that in a church that wasn't turned on to that at that time. It was not unlike our church of that time, which was taken into a culture larger than itself, dealing with it, sometimes fighting, trying to stand up against being overcome by economic and cultural changes in the wars and then calling out against wars. So we have gotten ourselves dirty as church and churches. And the gospel, without blaming us, and even our own personal challenges recently, would invite us to come back, to become informed again, enter into reforming ourselves and with each other, so that together we might continue to be part of the transforming of the mountain, which has always, always been about making all things new in Jesus Christ. You only get to the end or approach the end of a journey if there's ever an end. And ours is in the holy reign of God, the home with Father, the body of Christ, however you ever language it, paradiso. We only make our way there if we find the path there, if we trust the way. And that is why we gather. And then we, as Mountain Community, have been forming and finding a way with others. The call that we have isn't first the call to be mountain people, mountain community members, ministers, friars, or outreach people, or board of trustees. That isn't it. The first call really is, in one way or another, to be baptized. Now, that doesn't mean everybody in the circle has to be Christian, but it does mean the core circle is a Christian baptized group that shares that fire that is baptism, that anointing that is certainly baptism, and that charge that is baptism, which is to be building stones, to go forth to all nations, and as we do here at the mountain, to welcome in all peoples. It's quite striking when I reflect on, as the authors of this first unit indicate, that baptism isn't only about, or I would say primarily or essentially actually, about forgiveness of sin. It's essentially our anointing. It's healing. All of the parts of every sacrament is healing, forgiving. They all acknowledge in a gentle way we all need healing and forgiveness. And within that journey, though, comes the anointing. We're named. Personally, it's not a crowd that's being anointed. If you were baptized, as you are baptized, in at least the Roman Communion and most larger church communities, the oil used has come from a sacred celebration at Christmas time, usually at Holy Thursday in the Roman Rite. So it goes out from what we call the Episcopal place, from the chair of Peter, from the place where teaching happens, where the first church gathered. And the power of our baptism is that ancient and new. It's new oil for the moment it lands on your head. And each of us are blessed not to be anything like anybody else. And this is where the fun comes in, to find out our different gifts, our profound chances to be different, distinguished, and strong. And then the challenge for all bodies everywhere, and we go to doctors for this, to have everything work together, to have it find its way, all the parts. Many though we are one body. We're not just a bunch of happy parts working functionally beside each other, but there's this ongoing, regular, not theoretical, it is theological, but it's essential call, find our way with one another. Falling down on that, as I regularly do, and as we struggle to work through those things, we find our way with each other, admitting, letting this in, and then standing up and getting going again and again. So there's this wonderful moving that's going on for us. And penance, again, fits with this in our understanding. And I understand there'll be prayer happening in this regard. And the fullness of penance in your life and mine is the opportunity to be new. No wonder I would lift up the difficulty and pain of the past and bring it for healing and washing, not just to patch up, but to become new again. Penance we were really called the brothers and sisters of penance, is what we proclaimed, not to shame, but to call people into a new way, not to intensify alienation, but heighten community and unity, to draw each other in, to bring each other back. And so this first unit is so seminal in beginning at a time that was divided in Francis's time between classes, culturals, haves and haves not, as this time is the same. God has an eye for all of us. And God's eye sees that too, I'm sure. But in some terrible way must be very sad for it. And all the sadness of joy in Christ dying and rising is joy poured out for us in Jesus Christ and the eternal love that really is our gazing upon the cross in Claire. So with this raspy voice, I invite you, if you wish to turn to what Martin has given us and when he talks about Franciscan itinerancy, any of what you found in Michael Blastick's article for us on Conversatio. And you might want to go back, if you have a copy of it, or I'd be glad to get one to you, of Franciscan Lectio, page 21, where we begin to talk about there the mountain and gazing, as Claire would take us forward. It might be a simple recall for you of our place here, of our community life with one another, and what we're called to. So thank you for enduring a rocky road and a rusty voice with me today, but I send my love to all of you. For each person that's stepping now into this circle with us, both as our trustees initiate this experience, but as it moves into pods, that we might continue to grow with one another as sisters and brothers, and that especially in the passage of Claire and Francis, we might be filled with new joy. And then we might, like today's gospel, find a way to penance and reconciliation with one another, so that we truly might become those new forms of living stones that we will be allowing God to use us to build with us as living stones for not only a new church, but a new world, to renew the face of the earth. My sisters and brothers, the Lord give you peace.
Sisters and brothers can now stand as one. See.